Nothing left but me. In Christianity, we have learned over the centuries, and even in our own particular walks, how to add to Him, how to avoid the reality of who God really is, what He requires of us, and what our relationship is really founded upon. It isn't all the glitz and the glamour and the games and the conferences and the new methods of healing or salvation or deliverance. All of that is fluff. All of that is human made. It's not made by God. We really only have Him and Him alone to live our lives from, to be nourished by, to be provided by, to be protected by, and to walk in. If we think we can add to His presence, the Holy Spirit, and make a new type of experience or religion, we are sorely mistaken, and we will miss who He truly is, the very power and presence of God in us and upon us, for a shoddy facsimile that is nowhere like Him at all. But we will be easily fooled and satisfied by that which is completely empty and vapid. He has shown me in the last few weeks that there truly is nothing left but Him. We can't depend on our bank accounts, on an economy, on world events, on even the attitudes or willingness of neighbors, spouses, friends, relatives, or enemies. Our houses must be built on Him and Him alone, because everything else will be washed away. And it is already happening. And it is not just in the United States. It is worldwide. And the reasons that we focus on a particular country or a particular event or a particular political change is we want to be in control. We want to understand it in human terms. But there is no understanding in human terms for God's hand of power and for His will on earth. We can try to analyze it, to make it palatable to our reasoning. But the truth is, we are not in control. And He showed me that the more freedom that we have, and that's freedom in Christ, not freedom by laws, not freedom by politics, not freedom by money. The more freedom we have in Him, the less control we have. And for many Christians, the lack of control is the one thing they don't want to give up. In fact, for all humanity, we think if we can control our circumstances, our world, our futures, we'll be safe. But what does He say? In Psalm 121:7, He says, "The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul." So who is the one protecting you? Who is the one keeping you safe? Who is the one ensuring that you are His? We have our part, of course, not only the confession of Christ in our initial conversion, but to live for Him. But who is the one who has our back? He shared that with me today. I have your back. And I cried. I couldn't even understand why would I cry about such a statement from God. How generous. How loving. How simple. And then He gave me that psalm. He does have our backs, Christians. He does have our backs. Whatever's coming, everyone is worried about. We've all gotten caught up in the political climate of the planet. And we're all worried about what's coming and how are Christians going to be persecuted and where are we going to run to and do we have an underground church and how are we going to teach and how are we going to share the gospel, which is wonderful to consider those things. But underneath that is a real fear for our own necks. Let's be honest. But He has our back. And we have to trust Him. There is nothing left but Him. There never was. But humanity, being so self-absorbed, has created a myriad of false manifestations of God, a myriad of programs, a continual influx of different ways of worshiping the Lord, different ways of learning about Him, different ways of occupying our time when there's nothing left but Him. And He's our only hope. He's our only treasure worthy of holding. And today in this teaching or sharing, I feel it's more of a sharing today. I'm not going to derive scripture upon scripture to support what He's teaching. Because the truth is, if we don't know that there's nothing left but Him, we're in big trouble. If we think there's anything more than God in our lives that will keep us, protect us, save us, sanctify us, lead us, guide us, direct us, preserve us. If we think there's anything more than Him, we need to have a deep reality check. Because we either seek after Him and Him alone, or we seek after everything else. There are only two choices. And although we live in the world, we're not of it. We hear that verse, we've probably heard sermons upon it, we might have even preached them ourselves, depending on our place in the church and in the body. But what does it really mean to be in the world but not of it? It's not just that you don't drink on, you know, and get yourself drunk, or you don't smoke, or you don't watch bad movies, or all of the other things that people expect Christians to do or to not do. That is not the foundation, although it's important not to indulge in the flesh, obviously. We're not to be following after the flesh. But the true core of what it means that we are in the world, as Jesus said, but not of the world, is that our lives are completely dedicated and focused upon God Himself, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Our purpose is in Him. Our plans are in Him. Our desires are in Him. Our very lives and breaths, as He says, are in Him. Because in Him we live and we move and we have our being. This is not a time to fall faint and be in shock and look at external circumstances. with distress, for Jesus promised these times. And where are we to look? We are to look above, for our redemption is nigh. The time is coming, but it is not a time to be in fear or distancing ourselves from our neighbors who are lost and just scrambling for our own protection, making sure we're okay and our family's okay. Heck with all of those people. That is not what God called us to do. We are to pour out our lives as a drink offering, as Paul said. We are to be a living sacrifice to God Himself. How? Our time here is so limited, so brief. If we don't have an eternal perspective, we will miss what we're here for. Most believers are so caught up in their own small circle. All of us have done this, and maybe are doing it now. When what He is asking for us at this time, this crucial time, when things are shifting on all levels, He is asking from us to expand outward, not to become insular, not to become isolated, not to hide, but to share His word. Go and preach the gospel to every living creature, He said. He has not changed that mandate. He has not changed that command. We have that till our last breath on earth. That is our call. However we fit into the body is between Him and us, and He'll place us where we need to be. But we are to share His holy will and what Jesus Christ did on the cross, and to teach those who we draw to Him through the Holy Spirit in us, to teach them to follow after Him. Making a decision, saying yes to Jesus on one bright Sunday morning is not where we leave people. That's where we begin. We need to look at our lives in an eternal perspective and context. We are not here for us. This is a blip on the screen, and it goes so quickly. It's not even a blink for God's eyes. So what will we give Him? What do we have to offer? What can we give to Him when we finally go home? And the finally seems long to us, but short to Him. What will we have done with His Son, with His gift, with His love, with His presence, with His holiness, with His righteousness? So many Christians are living in some delusion that there's this grand revival coming. But Jesus says differently. He says there'll be a great falling away, and we're watching it in every corner of the earth in the Christian body of Christ. Everywhere we look, we're seeing people deluded. We're seeing them falling away. We're seeing them believe false doctrine. We're seeing itching ears being tickled continually. We're seeing them get their flesh constantly fed, which has nothing to do with being a Christian. That is not God's promise, that I'll cater to your flesh and your earthly desires. There's no scripture and verse for that. He said we would be persecuted, but great is our reward in heaven. He said, don't worry about what you're going to wear or eat or drink, for isn't that what the Gentiles, the unbelievers, do? For your Father knows before you ask. He says, it is better to trust God than put your confidence in man. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except by me.
That is what we have to offer the world. And yes, we will be hated for it. And yes, we will be marginalized. And yes, they will mock us. And yes, they will say we are intolerant. How dare we declare there's only one way? And all we have to do is just speak the truth from his heart. Whether at times it seems harsh or hard, or other times it is so delicate and tender, it's like he's touching a petal of a flower that's just about to fall off. He knows that person. He knows how to approach them. We just have to be obedient. Step out in faith. That's what walking on water is. Time is short, and if we care anything about those that are out in the world that know nothing of him or might have known something of him and have rejected it because of their own pain or hurt, because of any maybe abuse in the church, because they're just very angry, because they've had horrific things happen in their lives, it doesn't matter the reasons. They're still lost, and he still wants them in the net. We can't choose, pick and choose. Oh, this one looks like they're a good prospect to be a Christian. Oh no, this one's way too far gone. We do not know how close their hearts are. We'll never know until we see the fruit. Or perhaps we see them in heaven and never expected them to be there. I know before I came to Christ, 2 weeks prior, I absolutely hated Christians. They were, to me, the worst people in the world. And if I saw one of those little fish signs on a car, I hightailed it the other way. I wanted nothing to do with these people. I was terrified. They were holier than thou. They were going to judge me. I had sinned in every possible way. Within 2 weeks of that, I came to Christ. We don't know how close they are, and we have no right to judge that. All we do are be obedient servants of the living God. And share his heart, share his truth, share his righteousness, share his glory. And we don't have to figure out how to do it. What do I say? How do I say it? Who do I approach? We ask him, the Holy Spirit who lives in us, who is the teacher, extraordinaire, knows everything, is God himself. Pretty easy. We just like to have control ourselves, and we step in front of him and we run off and make a mess of things. This is a time, beloved, this is a time. We can't be cheap and chintzy with what he's given us. Time is short. Every generation has believed he was coming in their generation. We are in that place now. And although the signs of the times are very accelerated, it really does look, I mean, the decadence is just so prevalent everywhere. Things that would never have been accepted 40 years ago are just normalized now. We do see it progressing. We do know every day is closer to his coming, whether it's before we pass away or not. But what matters is that we don't pass away wasting what he has given us. Or worse yet, denying it. For he said, if you deny me, I will deny you before my Father and his angels. He says he'll preserve us. He says he'll protect us. We have to trust that. And that means even unto death. Because how do we overcome the enemy? We all know this scripture. But what's it mean? By the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, and not loving our lives unto death. That means you give every bit of you for him while you are here. And if that includes being martyred for your faith, then so be it. What's your next destination? Before his throne. So it's time to, as they say, man up. It's time to stand up. It's time to say, there's nothing left but you, Lord, that has any value in my life. and therefore my life is yours. My plans are your plans. My desires are your desires. My days are your days. My heart is your heart. Let's stop, body of Christ. Let's stop making a mockery of what Jesus Christ did on the cross, so that those who are lost and frightened and perhaps even aggressive and negative about him and have all the reasons, their own personal reasons, and then they watch the church and they look at it and they say, what a joke. They don't even know what he really did. They don't know the meaning of it. They don't know why. They don't know it was for them that he died. And it isn't our job to convince them. It's our job to share, to be that truth, to honor him with our words, with our actions, with our lives. Not so we can be seen as perfect, clean, crisp little Christians that, oh, everyone else is going to aspire to be. No, people are terrified of that. That doesn't mean that we're going to drag ourselves in the mud and do everything that the world does. No. That dishonors him as well. But we are to be authentic, real, honest. Share what he brought us through. Share who we've become now. Not because of our amazing morality, but because of his righteousness. Share the truth that sets them free. Because the only reason we're here, dear bride, he says, the only reason you're here is to serve the Father in heaven and to honor the name of his Son and to yield to his very presence, the Holy Spirit. Your life is no longer yours anymore, not for another minute. When we give ourselves to Christ, that's what we're doing. We're giving over our lives in exchange for his life. And it's not about getting all your goodies and all the things that you want in the way that you want them when you want them. We have got to get over that. That is Western Christianity at its worst. There's no fulfillment in that. It's completely empty. People in the world will tell you that they've reached the pinnacle of all levels of success and status and power, and they're completely empty, drinking and doing drugs and running around trying to somehow fulfill themselves because what they thought was the greatest accomplishment was nothing. Christianity and Christians should not be aspiring to any of that. There is a world out there that is dying daily in every way, physically and spiritually. And we're called to be his ambassadors and to be his living epistles, not written in ink, but by the Spirit of the living God. Do you believe that? Do you believe you're his living epistle, or do you think you're nothing? Well, you're nothing without him, but you have all things and can do all things with him. And there's nothing left worthy of any value but him. And he is the one who gives us value. And he is the one who makes us value others, not because he forces it like a dictator, but because his love compels us. Let's stop worrying about ourselves. And let's start doing what he called us to do and being who he called us to be for his glory. In Jesus' name.